Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you're thinking about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcast to get started right now. It's now time for a very Dynasty Warriors edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into your friends and which games to just hit up Lou Boo and just get the crap kicked out of you. I am Corey. My weapon of choice is a sword, and I am joined by, I'm going to guess you're a pole arm guy, Basher.
I do like a pole arm. You're not wrong. Anything except the stupid fans.
Fans?
The fans, yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat style?
Yeah, like straight up fans. They're just dumb.
I mean, that's basically just like having daggers, right?
I prefer a dagger at that point.
I cannot name a single video game where I like it. Like, who wants, like, hey, do you want a butter knife? Like, no, nobody wants that. Right.
Now I'm going to spend the rest of the podcast thinking of the one time I liked the dagger in a video game, because it's only used to distract.
But it's like Diablo even has daggers, right? But you still don't use them, and you could find the best dagger in the game, but because it's a dagger, you're like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not using this piece of crap. So I'm trying to think, like,
Wulong does not have any daggers, I don't think, does it?
Zelda, so technically Zelda does. Isn't there like the kid sword like a dagger? Anyways, Wulong Fallen Dynasty. So now in my effort to look for daggers, I have now lost the details for Wulong Fallen Dynasty. That's what we're here to talk about. But before that, did you know on Apple iTunes, you can leave us a rating? If you do that, more people can hear this podcast. More people can talk about Wulong Fallen Dynasty on Xbox Game Pass.
Would you consider the Hidden Blades and Assassin's Creed daggers?
No, because...
Okay, all right. Just checking, all right.
Like...
Wait, hold on. The knife in Call of Duty.
No, that's a knife. That's not a dagger.
What's the difference at this point?
That's, like, a dagger is like a main weapon.
Okay, all right, I got you, all right.
I think, like, the closest thing would be, like... Like a, what do they call it? Like a, what's the assassin use in Diablo 2? It's kind of like a hidden blade, but it's just like it's a very triangular blade. Katar, something like that. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? No?
No.
Bueller. You can also leave us a voicemail. 574-651-9256. Let us know what you think about daggers and whether or not you like to use them. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Wulong Fallen Dynasty. Developed by Koei Tecmo Games. Published by Koei Tecmo. Available on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. Available also on PlayStation 5 if you are joining us from the Sony camp. Xbox Play Anywhere, so has Xbox Cloud Saves. Online co-op, which I think you can attest to, I cannot. Does feature HDR. Does have Series X and S support where you can run at 60 frames per second. Whereas Xbox One and One X, you are going to be capped at 30 frames, and does have a performance mode. They both run at 60 frames per second. However, the performance mode caps it at 1440p, whereas the quality mode is a dynamic range of 1440p up to 4K. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. I have some thoughts about that. From the depths of darkness, a dragon soars. A new dark fantasy Three Kingdoms action RPG presented by Team Ninja. 184 AD, later Han Dynasty China. The land is overcome by chaos and destruction. The Imperial dynasty that one day I'll get this right. The Imperial dynasty that prospered for many years is now about to collapse. Wolong Final Okay, how come you never read this? Wolong Final Fallen Dynasty is a dramatic, action-packed story of a nameless, malicious soldier fighting for survival in a dark fantasy version of the later Han Dynasty, where demons plague the three kingdoms. Players fight off deadly creatures and enemy soldiers using swordplay based on the Chinese martial arts, attempting to overcome the odds by awakening the true power from within. No, you must have an internet connection in order to use various content additions. I guess they thought that was important. Wolong. Finally, how long to beat? 28 hours. Completion is 42 hours. Main plus extras, 30 hours. So you're going to probably hit about 30 hours to get through this one. Wolong, Fallen Dynasty. Let's talk about it.
I'm curious how you're going to intro an actual Dynasty Warriors game now, because you just use up all the references.
No. This is Koei Tecmo. All they know how to make is Three Kingdoms games.
this is.
They tried Metroid. It didn't work out for them. Granted, I like those. I liked that first Hyrule Warriors. I didn't love the second one.
There's a second one? Okay.
There is. It's not nearly as good. But
so, what do you start with this one?
It's a Souls-like.
It's a
Soulsborne.
It's a Souls game, just in general, really. I mean, it's not even like or light. It is really just Sekiro. But I would say in that Three Kingdoms setting, it kind of works better. I'm not going to lie. I'm a sucker for Dynasty Warriors. I buy every other version. I play them all, but I buy every other one.
They don't make them like they used to. Like, they used to spit those out, you know, every other month.
ever since that the online one.
There's an online
not,
one.
Not the online. There was one where it was like open world one. Yes.
Yeah.
The open world one that tanked and people hated.
I think I still owe you for that one, because I think you took the plunge on that one, and I felt so bad that I was like, okay, I have to.
Wait, you got me to play that? I was going to play that anyway, I believe. I mean, it's Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, but I definitely was like, yo, we should check this out. And you're like, yeah, for certain. And then,
okay.
And then, yeah. I think I got Spider-Man, and you ended up got to play it. So I think we're even, but maybe not, because that game was real bad.
that's one of the best games ever. But Wolong, I would say, like, right off the bat, the setting, I think, works better for me in terms of a Souls game. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think it makes less sense only because they try to actually explain it in terms of how dying and resurrecting works. That only works better in these actual Souls game, because they don't explain anything. Whereas like in Wolong, they're really trying to push a narrative and push a story, and so far it's not terrible. It's pretty serviceable, I would say, and which I think is a huge step up from what they usually do.
Yeah, I do. We need a story. Like, one of my biggest problems, one of my weirdest like hangups with a lot of these games, is that they never tell a story that is cohesive, I guess, or even worth paying attention to. And weirdly enough, like, this is a linear game. It's not open world. It's not even like hub world. It's literally level per level, which is interesting. I didn't know that going in. And so it actually makes the story a little bit easier to follow. However, I still don't. I don't really understand what's going on, and I don't know if I really care.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
It tickles my fancy, because playing all these Dynasty Warriors games, it's just good to see Lu Bu and Liu Bei and
Sun Quan
and all these guys. It's like, oh, look at these guys I kill 30,000 NPCs with. Like,
where's Gan Ning? Cool. I want some Gan Ning up in here.
I'm looking forward to fighting Lu Bu and getting my butt kicked. It's going to be great. And
okay, so here's my question. Was Lu Bu like really that much of like a badass in history? Or is that literally something that Koei Tecmo's made up and now it's just become like common knowledge?
Someone can correct me, but the long short of it is yes.
Interesting.
He was a well sought out warrior. He was probably the best, like probably the absolute best warrior. And what his downfall was always the fact that he was just people did not he did not work well with others. So he would betray people and go to the next camp, and then after a while he just became by himself. And history says that he put on a hell of a show before they got him dead. But most likely it was probably like 3 or 4 people. At that point it's the movie 300. You know,
right?
But yes, he was really real. He was really a badass. But he also had that horse too, apparently. But that said, I mean, I am down for the lore, but I'm not really paying too much attention to the story, like you said, either. Like, I'm just here for the characters, more or less. And it kind of sucks that you're not playing as one of those characters. You're just kind of a new guy.
And that's exactly how I felt. And that's probably because my brain has been morphed by Dynasty Warriors. Like, everything I know about the Three Kingdoms is from Dynasty Warriors. And I don't think that's probably uncommon. I love me some Dynasty Warriors, and it really is because of the characters. And so, like, it's cool that I got to fight next against Sun Quan and Zhang Lang and, you know, whoever. But yeah, I'm with you. I was like, I kind of wish I could play, like, I could pick one of those guys,
right?
And like from like level to level, I could almost, you know, pick a guy,
right,
and go through it that way. I understand why you can't, because that's not what the game is. But at the same time, like, I think that sounds like a far more interesting game.
It sure is. It sure is. At the top, I basically just called it Sekiro, and that's what it's really closest to in terms of a Souls game. It's less about the dodge, more about the parry. Get the parry down, and that's essentially the entire game. It's not really... I'm not trying to downplay like there's just nothing here. However, as someone who does not like Souls games, yet beats them all just out of pure spite, I can honestly say the gameplay in this, it does some things well or fun, where they have different abilities and spells. You can call down lightning, shoot fire, cast poison. On top of that, you have your spirit summons, if you will, that do more devastating damage or greater healing. And they're all fun to use. Well, the summons are. The spells, not so much. They don't ever seem to do too much damage to any boss-like creature. However, it does handle a few minions here and there. One thing I do like is that they tweak the stamina bar a bit, or how stamina works a bit. It's not quite one-to-one with the Souls game. However, you don't have to rely on stamina for every single action. I think that's an upgrade. I think it's a quality of life upgrade for sure for me in terms of any Souls-like.
Yeah, I'm as dismissive I am about the story. Like, you and I have, we've gone on this show on the record. We've played other Souls games. We're not a huge fan of the genre, but for some odd reason, probably just because of the zeitgeist and to be part of the conversation, we've played a lot of them. Did you ever play
Neo? Yes, I played Neo 1 and Neo 2.
So yeah, I only played the first one, and this is similar to that.
Yes.
But like, I have not played Sekiro, so I can't comment on that, but it doesn't have the styles and stuff like that Neo had, and I actually didn't really like Neo.
Me either.
I understand why people like it more than like a Dark Souls. It's a little bit quicker. It's a little bit, you know, the setting and what you're doing is less fantasy. But I just didn't like the stance thing. I'm going to go on a little rant here later, but like you said, the the spirit bar, as I think they call it, is kind of the thing for me in this game. It's kind of a push and pull of, depending on what weapon you have, what what style of game you're going for. Like you said on the magic and stuff like that, I've come to a conclusion when it comes to Souls games, I will never use magic. I've never, it's never clicked with me. I don't understand how to use it clearly, or I'm just an idiot, and or maybe you have to level it up.
Above.
Like, yeah, thank you. To me, it never seems worth the investment. So I have tried playing it. So this one, I was like, you know, I'm not even gonna bother with that. I'm going strictly power ups. So like, I'm going the wind one, where I can cast a spell to where if I hit you, I get some health back. I've got one where I enhance my blade with wind power. I've got a rock ability where I get more defense. Like, that's where I'm going with this one. And so I'm playing this one like a straight up hack and slash. And I'm enjoying it. Like, I have to say I'm enjoying it. I'm not in love with it, but I'm having a good time with it.
I'm with you on that. I'm actually surprised at that fact. I mean, the last Souls-like that I enjoyed was on the show. We spoke about it, Surge 2. I really thought after that first boss in Wulong that I was not going to enjoy myself. I really thought it was going to be just rinse and repeat throughout the entire game. And it kind of is, but like a Sekiro, but more like a Nioh or a Souls Light, it's not nearly as cheap and unfair. It really invites you to move quickly, be in battle often, and enjoy the battle often, but it doesn't unfairly punish you for punishment's sake. I think this is a game that is, for me, lack of a better word, easier, but not easier in the sense that the game in itself is easy, but just compared to a Souls game or a Souls-like that is trying to emulate difficulty for difficulty's sake.
Yeah, this is where I'm not a game developer, so it's hard to talk about this without sounding like a jerk. But why are developers trying so hard to mimic that Souls experience instead of just making a game? And that, and like you said, there's moments of this game where that does happen, where it's like you walk through an entranceway or you know, a hallway or an archway, and all of a sudden there's a dog behind it, you know, like, and you can't see it and it hits you, or you're walking around, all of a sudden why is there always a dude standing on a random rock throwing stuff at you?
Yep.
Like, that's not fun. It's not fun at all. And especially because you've got people rolling around with you and they just like run straight at them head first and then jump off and then they fall. And I'm just like, why are we doing the thing? Why are we just trying to be a Souls game? Because when this game isn't a Souls game, or it's trying to do its own thing or its own take on it, it's significantly better than when it isn't doing that.
Completely agree.
Yeah,
it definitely shines when it wants to be its own thing. I think that comes out a lot in the combat. It offers, in my opinion, more than a Sekiro, because I feel like Sekiro is really simply swordplay, really simply dodge or counter mechanic. Whereas this is as well. However, with the added skill sets, I feel like it's just a little bit more fun in an arcadey way, but it doesn't take away from the difficulty at all. I mean, I was actually purchased this game on PS5 because I was playing with my friend Manus, who only has PS5, so he is not good at these games, and I beat that first boss at level 7. My friend Snaps beat it at level 6. Manus was level 20 before I had to join his game. I'm sorry, not even join his game. Play, remote play his game to a victory. So it's still super difficult. And the banter online is the first boss is just way too difficult. And you still get that difficulty spike there. However, I don't think it's all about just that. Like a Souls game is only about killing you a lot, whereas I feel like Wulong is more leisure in that sense.
Yeah, that first boss, I actually, like, the first time I went against him, I beat his first form. And I was like, okay, that wasn't too bad. Then he goes into his second form. And I was like, okay, like, this is going to be more difficult. And I actually ran into a glitch of some kind to where basically, like, when you get halfway through that, something happens. I won't spoil it. But I never got prompted for it, kind of thing. So I just, like, couldn't beat the dude. And so he ended up killing me, like, 15 times because I kept getting to that second part. And I just couldn't finish him off because reasons. But yeah, I didn't think it was that difficult. It wasn't easy by any means. But I don't know. But the word around about the first boss being too difficult. I feel like we faced much more difficult bosses.
I completely agree, and
not even in Souls-like games.
Right.
Like it's not that bad. Was Sekiro this fast? Because this game is fast. Okay.
Yes, so that's super Sekiro's interesting. Pretty fast.
Yeah. That's the one thing I definitely noticed about this game is because I don't really block. Like, I very rarely block. I'm going for parry all the time.
Parry all day.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the blocking, I kind of wish there wasn't a block. I'm not going to lie. like I wish this was just more of a parry-focused game. I guess it is because I'm playing it that way. But you can play it kind of either way, I guess. But yeah, because because all the enemies have, like, their basic attacks that you can block. And then if they get too far on your spirit bar, that sort of breaks your block. But then they've also got unblockable attacks that can only be parried. So I like that flow, and it's really fast. It's really it's visceral. Like, when you hit that parry and then you break their stamina and you get that, you know, super hit, whatever you want to call it, it's satisfying. It feels good, kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. And it's great when you use it against the bosses because they hit so hard. I mean, and it feels like the boss feels it as well. I would say it does a pretty poor job of teaching you a lot of these mechanics. However, it took me quite a while to figure out. So I beat the first boss pretty easily. Not easily, but pretty fairly. I'm having a decent time with it. I'm having more fun with that. Turn it off, turn it back on, equip some new armor, and all of a sudden I can't parry anything.
Yeah.
I can't parry anything. My parry is not working. I'm literally switching controllers and, like, why is my parry not working anymore? Like, what's going on? Turns out there's a equipment load number. If your equipment's over 100%, you cannot parry. I didn't know that. It lets you don't move slower. You don't dodge slower. Like, there's no, to compare it to a Souls game, if you over encumber yourself, you can't move. You do the fat roll, so you know something's up. There's no indicator that's saying something's up here. You simply cannot parry, but you can do everything else. And that was just throwing me off until I figured that out. So and that's not the only thing it doesn't explain to you well. Another thing it doesn't explain to you well is you can, when you're fighting, well, I think any enemy actually, but especially your bosses, there's a bar. You want to fill that bar all the way to the left with red.
Right.
Because once that happens, you can do the super parry the super strike. And that's when they're actually dazed and you can go in for that big hit, the big critical. There's also that same bar has a blue side to it. It doesn't explain to you ever what that blue side means. But the higher that blue side is, the worse it is for you, and the more you need to do or dodge for that blue bar to come down, because now the boss has extra defense. And so do you. You also have a similar bar at the bottom. It's at some point it's intuitive, but at the same time, a quick on screen, hey, this is what red means, this is what blue means, would help. Because if you're not catching that and you're fighting something and you're expecting it to be dazed and it's not dazed, even though you hit it with a big counter, you're kind of asking yourself, why isn't it happening every time? But when it's really just a matter of the game doesn't really explain to you the ins and out of certain mechanics.
Yeah, and it's, I think I've got it down kind of thing. And it's kind of a weird system in that to fill that red bar, you kind of have to do like light attacks, or you've got to do your spirit attack, which are kind of weird. So you've got a light and a heavy, and your heavy attack seems to give them more spirit. Is that how I, so like, yes, it does more damage, but if you hit them with it, it kind of gives them a boost to sort of have more spirit. But if you do light attacks, that takes away their spirit and builds your spirit, kind of thing. So it's this kind of push and pull, so that way you can't just spam heavy attacks on them. But to get that bar, you've got to do like your super spirit, which is like the hold the right bumper and then press X kind of thing to do a move that attacks specifically their spirit to build that spirit bar, so you can break their guard kind of thing. Like, it sounds really complicated, and it's not that complicated. However, the UI for it is bad. So, and it's...
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But also, like, I feel like it's kind of backwards, like, because the red bar fills, red is bad, right? Like, I would think red is bad, so, like,
right.
The fact that the bar is filling red, I'm like, that's not good, right? But no, that is good. But if it's red on me, that's bad. Like, I don't want it to be red on me, because that means, or even it's like a slightly different red. It's like an orange or whatever. And that's bad. That means that I'm giving up too much and I'm going to have my guard broken, kind of thing. So like, that's one of those usability things. It's just like, this feels like it could have been done better. It feels like it could have been like, I have a very love and hate thing with Souls games in general, and especially their fans, of just being like, I don't want my hand held. I'm like, there's a difference between conveyance and having your hand held.
Absolutely.
And why do anyone, if you're making a Souls game, why is it part of the genre to not tell you anything? Like, like, out of everything in these genres, make the exact same game if you want. You're already doing that. But at least don't do the thing that From does of, like, not explain anything to you. If there's anything that I want a developer to do different, tell me how to play the game. And I will say, if I remember correctly, Neo did a decent job at that.
They did. Definitely did. Neo did a pretty, probably the best. I mean, that in Surge 2, the ones I played anyway. And to piggyback off of that is the... One of my biggest gripes with Wulong right now is that parry system, that block system, that push and pull system. What you really want to do is parry their strongest attack, because that does the most damage to them. However, when they're at the most vulnerable state, you want to hit them with a triangle heavy attack, because that does the most damage to them. And you know that they're most vulnerable because they will glow red. There'll be a red spark.
And they'll be kind of like dazed, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, right. Also, when they're doing their most powerful attack, there'll be a red spark.
Right.
And... it's absolutely maddening, because now what you're making me do is you're making me watch the bar more than the monster.
Right.
Like, you have to change that color. Like, and to your point, if he's going to do a super powerful attack that's going to damage me, make it, I guess, blue instead of red or something. Because otherwise, I could be in the flow of combat thinking, oh, I've done X amount of damage to this guy, or I got a bunch of sword swipes into him. He's about to go down. He's about to be defenseless. And it's like, oh no, he's just doing two back-to-back one-hit kills.
Right. And there's, I get it. These games are punishing. That's part of the appeal, for whatever reason. But it's maddening when an enemy has a, it's not even a one hit kill, but it's like, it's a one grab kill basically. And that second boss in there, not too difficult, except he has this move, at least against me. Like he does the full like charge thing where he's turning red and all that. But if he hits, it's an all or nothing hit. If he grabs you, he doesn't kill you right away, but then he hits you like three or four times in this grab. So, and, but you can't do anything about it. Like you just have to stand there and watch him basically destroy you. And it's just like, that is maddening to me of one hit kills are stupid in general, but if I miss the first parry, sure, punish me, but give me a chance to at least save myself in some capacity.
Like, well, absolutely.
Yeah. I would either just kill me. Don't bait me like that. Like, don't do the stupid thing of just like, oh, well, we're going to hit you. And he's going to drag you around a little bit and throw you around. It's just like, this isn't a fighting game. Like, I don't need the extra after that. That's the kind of stuff that just drives me nuts about the Souls games. And they all do it. Why do they all
do it?
Yeah. Yep. Why do they take that out of everything for these games? Why do they take those things and replicate them? That's the part I just don't understand.
Because it's the part that the Souls fans like. You know, like, it's something. My beef will always be more with the fans than the developer, because developers are just doing what you pay them to do. This is what this is what you want. This is what we give you. Souls fans love that just stupidity of game design. I don't want to go too long with this one, but to touch on the online aspects of it, it's compared to a Souls game, it's also a lot more leisurely. Some could say it's easier because you can still use bonfires and such like that. Whereas, like in a Souls game, if you're helping a friend, you have limited Essence flask and limited healing, limited everything essentially, and good luck. Whereas in this game, it's almost a one to one. When you help somebody out, you still have all your most of your items. You can still use resting flames or whatever they call it, prayer things, and regenerate your health and stuff. So that's a lot easier. The downside to co-op is this game isn't built for co-op.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it is, yeah.
At all. This game works so much better by yourself because it's all about the parry. So you need to... It's easier fighting when you're by yourself because you get to manipulate the AI as you need it to be manipulated. So you can bait that big hit. You can bait that parry. You can bait that block. Whereas when you play with someone else who might be more aggressive than you, that AI is just acting extremely erratically, and you just can't plan anything anymore. I mean,
yeah. So
I'm sorry. Even the AI.
That's what I was gonna ask. Can you make them go away?
Yes.
Okay. So absolutely. I didn't look into that, and that I wanted to, because that second boss, I died a couple times just because it was going after the AI, yep. And I was like, this is stupid. Like,
every single boss I had an issue with, I ended up beating because I turned off the AI. It is not made for co-op. Well, the bosses are not made for co-op.
Right.
It's fun co-op when you're getting moving throughout the mission area, but once you get to that boss, unless you and your co-op partner are on the same exact page of you stand here, I stand there, and we just wait for the parry, it's almost impossible to much more difficult.
Yeah, and those are the kind of the little things that add up. And I know it probably sounds like we're mostly negative on the game, but like, I am having a good time with it. Like, I genuinely am.
I think so. I think most of this has been positive. I mean, leading up to just this later half. I mean, I think for people who don't like Souls game, I gotta say, like, this is Team Ninja does a good Souls game.
Yeah, and that's, I feel just kind of, what's the word I want to use? like torn isn't enough. Like the problem is I've played this. I'm pretty far in, but I'm good. Like I don't really want to play this for 30 hours, you know? Like it doesn't seem like there's enough there for 30 hours. If I had to like really have a criticism, is its theme is kind of boring. Like it's really cool that you're in the Three Kingdoms and like we already said, you're seeing some of the characters that you might know, and it's cool that they're fighting alongside you, but other than the bosses, like everything's kind of the same so far. And even the bosses aren't that cool, you know, like they're just kind of different enemies. And the first one was kind of unique because it was almost like a Resident Evil style, you know, transformation. And like, okay, that's kind of unique and different. But the other ones were just kind of big creatures. And I'm kind of bored with it in that aspect. And I'm going to play a little bit more. Hopefully it gets better kind of thing. But I just don't think there's no way there's enough here for a 30-hour game, I feel like.
I think I might agree with you there, because I just heard. Did you type something in the chat?
No.
I just heard Discord make a little bloop sound. I would agree with you there, because I'm not playing it for the story at this point. And then to touch on what you said about the bosses not being cool, that's where, man, that's where the good and bad of the Souls games comes in, you know? Like, as much as I dislike a lot of the Souls games, and partly because people think the bosses are so cool, and I disagree, they're just really big and dumb. I say that at the same time, while playing Wulong, kind of miss it.
Right.
You know, like, it. What I don't like about the Souls game bosses is something that I feel like Wulong is missing. The things, the quality of life improvements that Wulong has over your average Souls game, I think in one aspect they missed that on was the bosses. They needed, like you said, a cooler boss, more memorable boss. And I think what they think that comes into play when you really give yourself up to the narrative, because the bosses are way more personal to you.
Right.
But that's not going to hit for me or you, I don't think.
No. Yeah. And I think the other part is it, with it being such a linear game, it's kind of strange too, because each level has like it. So we didn't really talk. You have like a what do you want to call it? Momentum meter. What do they call that thing? It levels up every time, like, and you can stick the flags in the holders to boost it up. That number that just keeps climbing.
Your morale.
Morale. That's what I was looking for. And that's the other weird part, is like each level really is its own thing. And so each level you have like a morale meter. And so am I crazy in that they kind of, because this happened in the second level, but I took a break in the middle of the second level and I forgot to go back and do it. I started the third or fourth level and I immediately went to this area and it was like my morale was like 3 and there's this big pterodactyl looking thing. It was like level 10. And I was like, nope, not doing that. But since it's a linear level, like, am I supposed to like come back to that? Or am I supposed to try to take that on with
the morale level? Does not, I don't know. Again,
I believe it affects it
a bit, but yeah. I don't think it does proper explanation of it. Like, or rather the explanation is so text-based. I don't think it's a proper, actual in-game tutorial to show you how that works, because I completely ignore that morale level now. I know it helps my defense, maybe.
I think it's the spirit. I think it affects how fast and slow your spirit gains and falls, especially for the enemy as well. I think that's what it is.
If
could
you
be
can
wrong.
If you're, because of the linearity gameplay design, if you can get to that area with a higher level enemy, you should just fight it. That's how I've been playing the game, and I've been winning, and I've been beating them for the most part.
See, and that makes me want to go back and just try to find that area. And like, that thing is, since like it's not open world at all, like I'm like, you want me to run all the way back? Like, I don't know about that one, Chief. But yeah, so it's, I guess the final thing I'll say is, you played on PS5. I'm playing on Xbox. What's performance been like over there for you?
Performance is pretty great, even with co-op, I would say. I had no big issues, no stutters, no noticeable issues for sure.
So I've got a VRR display. Are you playing with VRR on? Do you know?
Yes.
So I've definitely noticed on the prioritized graphic setting, like at least the Xbox, the frame rate, even with VRR, is dipping and fluctuating enough that I can feel it in the controller. So I say even with VRR, you should probably stick to performance mode. It does take a decent hit to quality, especially the clarity of the image. It still looks good, don't get me wrong, but it is a noticeable difference. But just the hitching is far better with VRR on, but you can still notice it with VRR, which means that it is jumping around a lot on Xbox. So I definitely recommend the performance mode. So, but yeah, we've been talking about this one for a while. It's a tough one. I think there's a lot good here, but there's some really frustrating things about it too. And
that's a Souls game for you.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But kind of like what you said, like it does feel like it's missing. The one thing that I will praise Dark Souls and Bloodborne and Elden Ring on is that I don't know what I'm going to get myself into. Like, I have no idea what's coming. And this game, I just don't feel that. I feel like I'm just kind of going through the levels and maybe I'll see something cool, which is weirdly a huge factor for me right now. And that it's missing some of that wonder, which is that a knock against the game? I guess like it's a weird one.
I don't know if it's a knock against this game in particular, because they made this game purposely like this,
right?
You know, like it's not like they attempted to do that and then failed. They didn't even attempt to do that at all. You know, it's that's one thing they did not try to emulate Dark Souls with. This is, you're not going to get this big thing of, you're not going to get this huge level and then die a bunch of times, barely right. Make it out alive, and then all of a sudden kick down the ladder and go, oh, wow, this was disconnected here this entire time. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, this is more Onimusha level design, where you're just going to go from point A to point B and then get to the boss and you'd be pretty much fine.
On that note, just make a new Onimusha. Like, remove the character builder, remove all the different weapons, keep the weapons, but give me three weapons and let me power up each individual weapon. Let each one have its own like, that is the Souls game that I want, is an Onimusha reboot.
You don't want that? Capcom still owns it.
I know, I want that. I want Capcom to do it too.
Capcom's going to screw it up.
DMC 6 is solid.
Oh wait, five. They are kind of back,
right?
Kind of.
Like, but I want them to take a Souls game, which Dragon's Dogma is kind of a Souls game, but I want it to be linear. I want it to be a new Onimusha, and I want it to be like this, but remove everything else. And from what I hear, Sekiro is kind of the game that I'm asking for.
After playing Wulong, I would like us to revisit this conversation in short after you play some Sekiro, because I think this is better than Sekiro, only because Sekiro is so tied to a Souls game that it has all the things that you dislike about Souls game, with no quality of life improvement other than a grappling hook. Whereas I truly believe Wulong takes the Souls experience and conveys it in a way where it's not so just let's just make the let's make the player mad just to make them mad.
Yeah, I don't miss that. That's for sure. So, all right, that's gonna do it. So when it comes to Wolong Fallen Dynasty, where are we feeling about it? Where play it, pass it on, pass on.
I think it's a must play. Like it is a great, I think, Souls like that more people can jump into, especially when it comes to co-op, because there you can just invite your friends. You don't need to do some magical ritual just to get people into your game.
Yeah, I agree. I like it, but I don't love it kind of thing. But I don't think I was ever going to love this game no matter what, because it's tied so much into a Souls franchise. But at the same time, like, I don't know if a Souls fan would like it. Like, it's missing a lot of those things that I think that those people love, and that's totally fine. But so it's, I don't want to say like there's no audience for it, but I also can't really tell. Is the person that wants to play these games but doesn't want it to be open world, that doesn't, you know, like the stuff that it's missing that it replaces it with, is that enough to bring someone in? And that's where I'm not sure. But that's the beauty of Game Pass. You can play it yourself and make your own decision. But yeah, I think I'm with you. Play it. Have some fun with a friend. See what you can do. And just have a grand old time. That's going to do it for this episode. We went long on this one, so obviously we had a lot to talk about. But when it comes to the future of Game Pass or Pass, we're going to be talking about Atomic Heart. We're going to be talking about Merge and Blade. We're going to be talking about Shadow Warrior 3. You played that one game, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Soul Hackers 2. Something like that. But we got a lot more to talk about. So tune in next time for, I think we're going to do Atomic Heart next. If not, tune into this game next time that we're going to talk about. One of them. It's going to be great. It's going to be the best episode we've ever done. So, right. That's going to be this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with maybe Atomic Heart.
Good day, sirs.